Okay, open your Bibles up to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And yeah, well, we're going to talk about having the fight, the good fight of faith. Sometimes people don't understand that you actually got to fight for some of this stuff. Fight in the spirit. You know, the devil isn't going to just roll over and say, okay, honey, you're a Christian now. You can go ahead and be healed. You can go ahead and be prospered. I give up. No, that's not the way it works. You know, the Antichrist, I don't know. People don't think enough about this. There is an Antichrist out there. I mean, he's anti-anything anointed. The devil is going to come against anything of faith. I've seen several people that have went off on journeys, you know, that, and I believe they were called to be there, to go to a certain place, and they'd go to this certain place to do whatever they were going to do in ministry, and they'd be there for 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and then they'd be back, and they'd say, well, this didn't go right, and this didn't go right, and this didn't go right, and it just wasn't a God thing. I think it was a God thing. That's why they ended up there. But when they started hitting the friction, they came running back. See, the way I look at it, if you don't have some friction going on when you step out in faith, if you don't have some interference and some friction, is it really an anointed thing that you're doing? I mean, sometimes there's some things that come off pretty easy, but honestly, if you're not hurting the kingdom of darkness, you know, he's not going to attack. But if you specifically set out and you're going to cause trouble in the kingdom of darkness, you should expect some friction. But here's the thing. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes you're going to have to work things out a little bit. You're going to have to sit there. You know, the best thing that ever happened to me was it came as an awakening, and I had to just sit there with this thing in my lap and sit there and fight it and fight it and get it and get it in my heart and go over it and over and over and over and over and over it until I finally got it. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. And from days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Have you ever thought about that verse? The violent take it by force. Literally, the word they use there is baezo. That's to use force, to force one's way into a thing. The idea here is that before John, the kingdom could only be viewed in the light of prophecy. You know, God would send prophets to people and he'd talk to them here and there. But now it was preached. And men press into it with ardor resembling violence or desperation. They appeared as though they would seize it by force. They're going to get this thing. No matter what it's going to take, they're going to get this thing. You know, sometimes people want everything to just come easy for them. That's just not in the natural world. That's in the spiritual world too. You know, they see something and say, oh, I don't understand that, and they move on. But they see something that they need. They say, well, I'll try it. No, if you're going to try it, it's not going to work. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. That's the only way you're going to get it, is to take it. You know, I had a terrible, terrible problem with one leg, and my back hurt all the time. And I had to have a lift on that leg. And I was just thinking about this when I was looking at this Bible. Because that was one of those things I had to get. And it just wasn't coming. And I knew there was something I was missing. And the people where we went to Bible school gave this particular Bible to a friend of mine. And he was flying out to Phoenix, but this Bible was going to add too much weight to his bag, so he didn't want to pay that extra freight. So he gave it to another friend of mine. So he had it laying there, and I was looking at this thing, and it just happened to be Kenneth Hagin's notes. And I was reading through those notes, and I knew in my spirit that this was my answer. So I said, hey, I want that Bible. How much you sell it to me for? I don't want to sell it. I said, he said, it's got some names of some people that he thought he knew from Alabama, but these people were from Montana. Well, anyway, he needed to make a pickup payment, the impounded pickup. And said, I'll give you $150 for that Bible. And he said, okay. That emptied my wallet, but that was my answer. That's all I'm talking about. No matter what, you're going to get the answer, whatever you got to do. And it's just sit there and look at the same verse for 3 months. And that's all you do, is sit there and look at that verse and meditate on that thing and study it and look at it. You're going to get it. It's going to happen. All too often what happens is somebody will stay on something for a day or two and say, well, must not be meant for me. And then wander off and try something else. You know, there's a bad habit in the Word of Faith circles with these tapes. You know, we get these tape series. You can get tape series. There's thousands of them out there. Somebody will be on a topic and they'll see a tape series and they'll say, I got to have that. So they'll listen to it and nothing will happen. So they'll spend another $20 on another tape series. Listen to that one. Well, nothing happened. I'll try this one. You're just kind of floating. You know, I ran into a tape series by Kenneth Hagin. And I said, I know my answer is in this tape series. And I listened to that one tape. I finally got it narrowed down to one tape. One CD. And I put my little player on repeat so So I just listened to that thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over. I'd listen to it all night long. I'd listen to it and 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 listen to it. And I started waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and I said, that's my answer. I got that. I got it now. No matter what, you're going to fight for that answer. Amen? But you just stay on it until you get it, until you're done. And then pretty soon, you get it. But that's called fighting that good fight of faith. You're fighting for that answer. You're going to stay there and get it. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. As the law and the prophets were to tell John, since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one little tittle of the law to fail. This expresses that earnestness where these people were pressing into it. They'd been separated from God for so long, and they just get messages from him through a prophet every once in a while. All of a sudden, God manifests in front of them. Now they're doing absolutely everything they could possibly do to get as much of him as they could. Expressing earnestness that men must have in getting rid of sin, satanic powers, the world, standing true when relatives oppose them, when the world opposes you. Are you an undercover Christian? Or an all-the-way Christian? Are you one that can stand up and say, no, I'm a child of God in the midst of every heathen in the world? Even the cool ones, the popular ones. Will you stand up to the religious order when they fall out of line? You're going to press into the kingdom of God. You know, I've noticed a peculiar thing about Christians. A lot of times, something will attack their body. And see, all of a sudden now they're at a crossroads. And they'll listen to their friends or their mama or even their pastor, and they'll go to the doctor, and the doctor will say, okay, you got to do this, 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 and this. And you got to do it at this time, this time, this time, this time, this time. I've noticed those Christians will do this, 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 and this at this time, this time, this time, this time, and this time. They'll do it just as faithfully as the people in the world. They won't, however, do what Jesus said when they get an attack in their body. Jesus said, take this as often as you will. He's talking about the communion. Amen. And he's talking about fighting the good fight of faith right there. Sometimes it might get ugly. You know, sometimes it might. I can tell you one experience I had, and my wife witnessed it, but I had a chemical on my back, a bad one, and it was doing some really bad things to me. But I had a word of faith, people telling me to go running to the doctor, and I knew that if I did that, I was toast. So I just decided I was going to fight it out, and I did, and it didn't take very long. It was, It was just a few days, and it was done. You know, I was pulling pieces of fat out of the back of my head and out of my back. And then it made my internal organs stop. So I wasn't processing food. But look, sometimes you're going to have to just say, okay, I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of God, and that's the way it's going to be. And you know, I had people tell me that was foolishness, and I thought, that's the wisest thing I could do, is run to God. Amen? Yeah, it hurt so bad. All I could do is just fight it out. That's all I could do. But you do what you got to do. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Said, think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. You know, probably 80% of the Christian world thinks that Christians are supposed to walk around with silk slippers, especially pastors, and not to ever cause any discord. If you're not causing any kind of discord in the world, then you're floating downstream with them. I mean, seriously, if you're just agreeing with everybody else, you're just floating downstream. And you'll get carried away. But you need to be able to stand up and say, no, this right here is the answer. I don't care what your school board says. I don't care what your town council says. I don't care what anybody says. This is the truth. Yeah, I just continually hear crazy stuff coming out of different groups, you know, town councils and school boards and whatever else, the county commissioners, just different people around the country. It's everywhere. People are coming up with crazy stuff. One of the craziest things ever. Well, one Satanist lady showed up at a school and griped about religious clothing on some kids. So they banned it. One Satanist shut it down. You know, Paul said that two spirit-filled believers came into a town and turned the city upside down. Shook it to the core. They were singing in jail one time and shook the foundations of the jail till the doors popped open. I wonder how many church people were in that town. I would say easily a couple thousand. And go down to the school with their Bibles and say, no, we're not going to have any of this nonsense. You know, politicians are afraid of numbers. And when they see numbers in agreement standing against them, they'll back down. Amen. They'll back down. But one Satanist goes down there and causes that much trouble. How come there wasn't 500 church people down there saying, no, we're not putting up with none of this nonsense? See, that's the reason that a whole bunch of stuff in the nation is upside down. Because a handful of rats went in there and caused some trouble. When there should have been thousands upon thousands of Christians standing down there in front of them and saying, no, this is not going to happen. You know, on National Day of Prayer, that whole lawn should be full. All the way around the courthouse, there should be people standing around, full. We're lucky if we get 50. See, God is sovereign. You have to understand this. God is sovereign. And in His sovereignty, He gave you dominion over this earth. And He told you to take care of it. It drives me nuts when I hear people, when they're talking about a political situation, they say, well, God is in control. He is sovereign. He is sovereign, but He gave you dominion on this earth. And you need to get off your butt and make sure that these people don't do this crazy stuff. You know, they'll say that God is sovereign. You know, they'll be talking. Obama was not God's idea. That's not His best plan for America. Hillary's not His idea. Biden is not His idea. But now Christians are waking up. Christians are waking up and they're starting to say, hey, maybe we better do something. Well, I guess. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. See, you don't have to be strong in yourself. The Bible never, ever tells you anywhere to be strong in yourself. So be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How do we get strong in the Lord? Get His Word. Get His Word in us. Hear the word of faith preached. Your faith will be built. Hear that preached. Hear that word of faith being preached. Feed on that, the words of Christ, and grow strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, that verse right there kind of threw me for a long time. And I asked a pastor one time, I said, I never heard about this armor of faith. How do I put that on? And he tried to explain it to me. But you know what? I didn't get an answer in my spirit that was acceptable. So finally, this thing had to get in my lap. And I had to spend some time looking at it. And look at what the armor is. And once you find out what the armor is, and you find out that it's stuff that happened to you at the new creation, and you find out that when you get a revelation of what the blood of Christ did for you, that armor comes on. The breastplate of righteousness. How do you get the breastplate of righteousness? Have a revelation that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How do you get the helmet of salvation? Sit there and look at Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. Understand and know that because you believe that God raised Jesus back to life, confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's your helmet of salvation. The sword of the Spirit, you get His Word. The Word is his sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's sharp enough to divide between the spirit, soul, and body. Revelation of this stuff is how you put that armor on. Here's the big thing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, there's spirits out there, and you got to understand that the spirit of darkness is a tiered kingdom. So he's going to have more important spirits over more important places. And it seems like the more important places seem to end up with some of the most goofy people you can imagine. I mean, they're just a little bit goofy here in the local courthouse. Not too awful bad, just a little bit. Go to Austin. They get pretty squirrely in Austin. They got a higher level of spirits over there because there's a higher level of damage they could do from there. Go to Washington, D.C. They went completely squirrel nut. Amen. But that's where he'll place his most important spirit that he has in his kingdom, is over them capitals. Down here, verse 13 says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You know, it's not all going to be bliss all the time. You know, you're going to face evil. You know, some of you may not realize you face evil every single day. I mean, you can't hardly go anywhere in town without facing some kind of evil somewhere along the way. But everybody in Fort Davis is nice. I didn't say they couldn't be nice. I talked to a lot of nice people that are some evil rat fink son of a guns right here in this town. But they're so nice. You know, they say don't judge the book by the cover. You know, the devil does some nice things. I remember I had a guy from the Masons. They wanted me to join the Masons one time. And he came and, you know, this is when he quit talking to me, but he came and invited me to be a Mason. And I said, nah, I can't. I can't do that. And he said, why? I said, man, I think that's a demonic thing. And he got mad and he said, we do all these good things, the Shriners and all this stuff, we do all these good things. I said, well, the Hell's Angels bought new coats for the Boy Scouts. Does that make them good? That was the end of our conversation. They did. The Hell's Angels bought new Boy Scout uniforms for the Boy Scouts. Does that make them good? No. But that's what the devil does. He likes to put cream and sugar on a turd to make it look like it's good. He tries to make things look good so he can hide the bad. People buy into it all the time. We need to support the EPA because they're going to protect the streams and the flowers. The Environmental Protection Agency, it sounds like a good thing. But it's an evil, corrupt thing at the core. The FBI sounds like a good thing. But they're evil and corrupt at the core. They set up good programs, well, good sounding programs, so that the people will say, okay, we need to support this. And all the while, there's a snake under the blanket that's just tearing them up. And they can't understand why this is happening. I like what one guy said, if it's involved in politics, if it sounds good, it's bad. He said, he's almost to that point where if it sounds good, it's bad. Stay away from it, he said. Well, that kind of makes a little bit of sense. Go to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, and we'll finish with this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So if you have peace with God, who can you expect not to have peace with? The devil. You should expect friction. You should expect things. But, you know, Jesus said, he said, in this world you shall have tribulation. It shouldn't be a shocker that something happens. But he did say, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So it's not a life-ending thing. Think back on your life and think about all the hard things that you've come through. You know, how many of those things seemed like they were life-ending events? You know, how many of those events seemed like, man, this is going to ruin me forever. This is going to be the end of it. This is going to be, I'm toast for sure this time. Look back at all those and then think about this. God has a 100% track record of bringing you through hard times. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Amen. Nothing is as bad as what it seems through the eyes of faith. I mean, it might look terrible. But see, the devil has a way of painting them pictures, making it look impossible. But God said that all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for everything that you do for us every day. We thank you for taking care of us and blessing us. We thank you for your gospel that you have sent through your Son, who sealed it in with his blood. We praise you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.